would have it.
You guys know probably the 32nd president of the United States was FDR, Franklin Roosevelt. And there is this wonderful story about Roosevelt. He had to endure all of these political meetings, and he grew tired in Washington, feeling like nobody actually ever listened to him. They treated him like a figurehead, and so there were parties, and there were meetings, and there were all of these important events, but he just felt that no one ever listened to what he was saying. So he tried to do a little experiment one night. At the next big White House gala, where they were welcoming foreign dignitaries and meeting and conversing, as he was in the reception line, every time someone passed down in front of him and shook his hand, FDR would murmur, "Hello, yes, I murdered my grandmother this morning," to see if he would get a reaction, to see if anyone was listening. Now, as you might imagine, right, most of the time in the noise, the guests just continued down the line, and he would say, "Hello, yes, I murdered my grandmother this morning." And they would respond with phrases like, "Oh, marvelous, keep up the good work. Thank you, sir. We're proud of you. God bless you." It wasn't until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that somebody actually listened and heard what he said. The Bolivian ambassador leaned in and whispered to his ear, "I'm sure she had it coming." Now, we don't know if that's a true story. It may be apocryphal, kind of like George Washington and the cherry tree. But it's believable, right? Because we all know what it's like to not be listened to. And we all know what it's like to not listen to other people. And so that's our breakout discussion question as we get started this morning. Ready? This one's a doozy. The question is this: who do you wish would listen to you? Who do you wish would listen to you? So I will assign the breakout groups, and let's see if I can divvy things up. You will be invited, and you can go into those rooms and discuss the question that I put in chat. So let's go. Our scripture passage for this morning, as everybody chimes back in and mutes up, our scripture passage is from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. You can read along in your own Bibles at home, or you can just close your eyes and listen for what the Spirit is saying to you. Mark chapter 10. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. This passage really leaves you with one burning question, I think. Why are the people who follow Jesus so bad at listening? I mean, I'm not trying to be critical. It just seems that on average, religious people aren't really known as good listeners. And they certainly aren't in this story. It's hard not to feel that way when you think about what kind of the public image of people following Jesus is nowadays, what the images we have of church life in the United States are, where we're faced with, you know, angry signs and street side preachers. It's hard not to feel like the people who follow Jesus don't listen all that well when they want to ignore what experts are saying about health and reopen. I mean, even around here, right, there are several local churches who are suing the government to be allowed to reopen for their big Sunday meetings. I mean, no one's saying you can't worship Jesus, but that's the rhetoric being thrown around. And so at least I think a lot of the public image of Christians these days, the people who follow Jesus, it just looks like we don't want to listen. Those of you with non-Christian family and friends, you probably have a better sense of how the church and the people following Jesus looks like to the rest of the country, right? It looks awfully self-interested, unwilling to listen to what experts and the others are saying around us. From street corner preachers to political pandering, the church just seems more concerned with telling everyone else what they should do than listening to the pain in the world right now. Maybe that's the problem, right? We're trying to desperately trying to convince the world that we've got all the answers. And so we don't realize that, well, the world's asking different questions. I don't mean to be negative, and people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? I'm not trying to be critical. Listening is hard. It's hard for me too. There's a story that I like to tell before Gia gets a chance to tell it about me from our early days after we got married. And so I'll tell it because that way I can ensure that it's an objective story, understand? Right after we got married, we were both campus ministers at the time. And we lived in this old apartment building. Our doorway was kind of hidden. It was this really little studio, one bedroom thing. Our doorway was hidden in the dark at the bottom of these three flights of stairs. So my desk was right in front of our front door. And I would sit there working late at night. One particular night, as Gia tells the story, there was a knock at the door. And so I got up and answered it. And standing there on the other side of the threshold was some poor college freshman, tears just streaming down her face, dealing with some terrible pain. Now, as Gia tells the story, when I opened the door and saw her there and saw her crying and asking if she could come in, I called out, "Gia," so that Gia could come around and listen to the students' woes while I quickly disappeared into another room so I could keep doing my own work. Now, she'll also tell you that this happened more than once. It happened more than once where some poor soul would come to our doorstep. I would open the door and I would call for Gia to come and listen to their problems while I disappeared out the back door. And she's right. That is what happened. She was much more willing to listen to people who were suffering than I was. And it was that experience of listening to people and caring that ultimately led her into her chosen field of psychology, which I guess means that it was my experience of avoiding people that led me into the pastorate. Well, let's not dwell on that. The point, you understand, is that listening is hard. Listening has always been hard. And it's not a new phenomenon. It's been hard to listen to people for at least 100 years. The great Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the leaders in the resistance church in Germany during World War II, has a wonderful little book called Life Together. And in it, he writes a lot about listening. Bonhoeffer writes, "The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as love for God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. It's God's love for us that he not only gives us his word, but also lends us his ear. Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking where they should be listening. But he who can no longer listen to his brother will soon be no longer listening to God either. He will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God. This is the beginning of the death of spiritual life. And in the end, there is nothing left but spiritual chatter and clerical condescension arrayed in pious words. Ouch. Not listening to others is the beginning of the death of spiritual life. Do you believe that? Listening's hard. It's always been hard. It was hard 100 years ago. It's been hard since at least people started first following Jesus. As Jesus moves from Galilee on his way to Jerusalem, of necessity, he ends up going through Jericho along the way. We find him at Jericho as he passes through with a large group of followers in tow. His teachings and his healings have created a real excitement. And so there's a large crowd of people who want to know Jesus and learn from Jesus and be like Jesus and see what Jesus is going to do. But when this poor blind beggar Bartimaeus cries out for mercy at the end of the off-ramp, it's these same followers of Jesus who don't want to listen to him. I mean, they don't even flip the guy a coin or hand him some money. Here's blind Bartimaeus, who has been set by the gates by the side of the road to beg for his meals again, crying out to see Jesus. And not only do the followers of Jesus not listen to him, they actively silence him. They try and shut Bartimaeus up. It's really a jarring picture. You would think that the people following Jesus, just eating up his words about God's love and mercy, what real faith looks like, hearing Jesus speak against the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, teaching about the coming kingdom of God, the blessing, that you would think they would make the connection. Maybe we should listen to this guy on the side of the road who needs some help. But no. The people following Jesus that day silenced Bartimaeus. Why? Why do you think they did that? Why is that? I guess the simple answer is that they have other priorities. And their priorities, at least, they think trump Bartimaeus's need. Maybe they don't think it's really possible to help him. So let's just focus on getting to Jerusalem. Maybe they are too wrapped up in their own expectations and agendas to hear or admit Bartimaeus's cry. Maybe they told themselves, I need good boundaries here. I mean, after all, we're here to see Jesus confront the establishment at the temple, not worry about some of the individual problems along the way. And so the people following Jesus shut Bartimaeus up. They tune him out. They're too busy. And that's relatable. I mean, the modern church really has mistaken busyness for a spiritual gift. And it's hard when you're very busy and rushing and pushing and pressured and you need to get your agenda underway. It's hard to set all that aside and care for other people. We find lots of reasons why we shouldn't listen to the cries around us. That's not our responsibility. We have things to do. We can't really help, so on and so forth. It's just ironic that we're so busy telling the world just exactly how much Jesus loves them that we don't have time to listen to what people are asking for. And I think there's a deeper problem here. There's something almost more sinister, that when we get so wrapped up in our own agendas and so wrapped up in our thoughts about the way things should be, the way things should be happening, that we try and silence other people along the way. I mean, we all know the history of the church. The church has silenced a lot of voices over the years, told people that their problems don't matter, refused to listen to a lot of different kinds of suffering. There are a lot of people that haven't fit into the church's agenda. And so, at times, the church has actually tried to silence people. And it's pretty easy to guess who would be ignored, who would not be listened to, who the church would say, be quiet. Because it always ends up being cries of people who are of a different country or a different color, a different sex, a different gender, of a different creed or a different bank account. I think the people following Jesus have always struggled to listen to these kinds of cries coming from outside them, their own experience, their own agenda. Why? Well, I think Bartimaeus's cry may make us uncomfortable, because when you hear a cry of suffering, it challenges your agenda and it challenges what you think is important in the world. A lot of times, responding to the cries we hear means that we have to change. It requires real change, a real turning around. That day, as they walked through Jerusalem and Bartimaeus cried out, he challenged everyone's understanding of just what exactly Jesus was doing that day. They thought Jesus was building a movement, going to cruise on into Jerusalem, going to kick out the religious elite, maybe even the Romans, who knows? But it turns out that's not what Jesus was doing that day. He was stopping. Mark writes, he stood still. And he was listening to Bartimaeus. What will it look like for the church today to stand still and hear the cries of the world around us? Because the terrible irony, right, is that when we read the Gospels, we see Jesus do this all the time, to stop, to listen to people, to heal, to take time and live life with people who are not a part of the agenda. Jesus spent time with outcasts and tax collectors, prostitutes, Gentiles, and Samaritans. He didn't see them as interruptions to the main event. He was not too busy. He did not have things that were more important than listening to the people around him, hearing the cries around him. And so we see Jesus stop the procession going to Jairus' house for the bleeding woman. Jesus listens to her whole story. The crowd listens to her whole story. He listens to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He converses with her, and he does the same thing with Bartimaeus here in front of everybody. And Bartimaeus's request is honored. His cry is heard by all these people who were following Jesus, because Jesus listened. He took the cry seriously, and he made space for it. Can you make space for the cry? Can you make space for other people's emotions? It's hard. Listening is hard. I really think that as a church, we should treat listening much more as a spiritual discipline. That becoming deep and caring listeners, that's discipleship. That's what Jesus is calling to. That's how we become Christ-like. And the great part is, right, listening, I believe, is a powerful healing. I mean, every time Jesus listens to somebody's cry like this, they end up healed. And it may not be coincidence that these supernatural events keep following conversations where Jesus is listening to somebody. It may just be that listening is actually what the power of God's love looks like. It's easy to underestimate it. It's easy to underestimate the power of active, concerned listening, of listening to cries that you're not familiar with. Few things in life are as healing and hope-producing as feeling heard, feeling known, feeling respected. There's real power in listening, healing power. Listening connects us. Life is overwhelming. I mean, I felt that way before the pandemic. Now, well, even more so. Life is overwhelming, and there's experiences and struggles that are so much greater than our own ability to cope with them and make sense of them, to sort out all of the feelings of the things happening to us. And so we all desperately need someone to come alongside and hear those feelings and experiences and help hold those things with us. There's great power in being able to listen. And I believe that it's a power Jesus wants us to have too. One of the things that's not often noticed so much about this story in Bartimaeus, and I think it's much clearer in Luke's version, right? Jesus stops in his tracks, and at least in Luke's version, he makes his followers go over to Bartimaeus and bring him back to Jesus. It's like this object lesson in listening. Oh, that guy you're telling to shut up, I would like you to go and bring him over to me. And there in front of everybody, Jesus listens to Bartimaeus's request. He honors him, calls him faithful. It's this glorious reversal that brings healing and validation to Bartimaeus. But I think it also helps the Christ followers too. It reminds them of who Jesus is and what he's about. My hope is that the Spirit of Christ, who would teach his followers to listen to the cries of the world around them, would be at work in us too, doing the same thing. Just like Jesus told his followers to go get Bartimaeus and listen, God's telling us to listen as well, to go to the cries in the world that we hear. And by listening, maybe we too can be a part of the healing in the world. And you understand, this isn't a personality type thing. I think a lot of times when we talk about listening, we just chalk it up to personality. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a godliness issue. It's participating with what God is doing in the world. It's trying to imitate what we've seen Jesus do in scriptures and around us. The Spirit of Christ in the world teaches his followers to listen to the cries of the world, to care, to make space, to hear people in grief and struggle. And so I think we always ought to pay attention to who is being silenced, who is not allowed to speak, and listen for those cries. I know it's easy to feel pressure like you have to have all the answers, but it may be the power we wield as people full of the Holy Spirit, as people made in the image of God, is simply to listen, to care, to make space for other people, to be with people, to be willing to let them feel and express even when it makes us uncomfortable. It's funny, you know, because Epic as a church, we've always had an emphasis on story and telling our stories. That's why it was named Epic, a long and adventurous story. We talked about the power and preciousness, but what we haven't said quite as loudly is the other part of that, that if you're going to tell your story, it means the rest of us are going to have to listen. Listen at home, listen at church, listen in the streets for where Bartimaeus is crying out. I think that that is some of the power being offered to us in this time as we're socially distanced. When we listen a lot more to screens, even this morning, we have to figure out what it's going to mean to actually go to Bartimaeus, go where we hear those cries and listen in new ways. But it's exciting. I believe it's an invitation to be a part of the healing of the world. And so this morning, let's close with this discussion question in our breakout group. Is there someone crying out for you to listen to? What makes it hard to hear that cry? I'll type the question in chat and open our breakout rooms. But is someone crying out for you to listen to them? And we'll come back. Well, there's one last thing that you should know about listening, I think, from this passage. Because as much as Bartimaeus is healed, honored in front of everybody, I think it's the followers of Jesus who are blessed as well. Blessed that their understanding of who he is challenged. Because Bartimaeus knows something that the followers of Christ didn't know. When he cries out along the road, "Son of David," you understand that that is a title reserved for the Messiah alone. Bartimaeus knows something about Jesus that no one had ever said in public. And his healing and being listened to is a part of that messianic event. May God teach us to listen to the cries around us as well. Amen and amen. Each week we celebrate communion. We celebrate and remember the God who listens, who comes to pick us up and carry us to God so that we can tell our whole story. We recall that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and said, "Eat, this is my body broken for you." And he took the wine and he said, "Drink, this is the blood of the covenant poured out for forgiveness of sins." And so we take communion together. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning, we ask that you would give us hearts of great compassion and listening. We pray that we will know your power as we make space and honor the cries around us. Will you clarify our understanding of just exactly who you are and how you love and what you do? And we pray that you will use us to be a part of the healing of all things. God, I pray for all of the ways that we have not been listened to, the painful ways that people have not heard us and even tried to silence us. And you know the hurt and the pain there, God. And I know that we know that you want to hear. And you do hear those cries. So we ask that you would minister to those places, that you would help us minister to one another, so that our hearts would be full and free to do it for the world. This is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This concludes Epic Church Online on this 204th day of social distancing. Thank you. It's good to see you all. You are formally dismissed, which means you can unmute and we can talk as much as you want about whatever you want for a while here. It's good to see you all. And now I can catch up on chat while you guys talk trash.
For more discussions of God's Word like these, go to www.epicchurch.net.